Good morning. This is what happens when the whole sound team leaves. Yes, we have to do what we have to do to make things work. But thank you, Cheryl. I did forget. So I told Dawson yesterday, it's good to have a backup. So I thought about it this morning and then got here and absolutely forgot about it. But yes, be in prayer for them this week as they do that service to the inmates and the staff. I want to turn back to Romans 12 this morning. Back in July, we went to Romans 12, 1 and 2, and this morning I want to continue on in Romans 12. Romans 12 and 13 spend quite a bit of time talking about our relationships. And Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about our relationship to God, and then verses 3 through 8 is our text today, and then verses 9 through the end of the chapter are actually two parts that deal with our relationships with each other. And this morning I'm going to break it down. We're going to only do part of that this morning. We're going to do verses 3 through 8. And in verses 1 and 2, Paul said that we are to offer our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And the two things that we focused on in those two verses is, number one is that holiness matters to God and worship matters to God. Our holiness and our worship matter to God. I've titled the message this morning, Born to Serve. And I'll be honest, this was I'm not sure why it was so difficult. I struggled and struggled to put my thoughts together. I had a lot of thoughts, but putting them together was a problem. And so hopefully that will come together better this morning, because I hope that you can make sense out of my thoughts when we're done. But As I studied, William Barclay actually takes these couple verses and he breaks them down into four points. And he says the first one is that we need to know ourselves. You need to know yourself. You need to accept yourself. These gifts are from God. And the purpose of the gift that you have been given is not for yourself. It is to serve others. And that's where I got my title, Born to Serve. And so we're going to read verses 3 through 8, and actually we'll start with verse 1. We'll go ahead and back up to verse 1 and read through verse 8. Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, I want you to pay attention. Now, he uses the word for. There's a reason that I wanted to go back there. Paul now is saying, for, because of this, because you have accepted Christ, because you have been transformed, He's referring back to that. Now what I'm going to say has to do with that. So as we go on, I want you to pay attention to what I'm going to say. Not me, but Paul. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Now, not going to spend a lot of time on the gifts that he addresses here. This is a partial list of the gifts that he talks about in 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians. We're not going to really talk about that this morning because that's not really where I felt directed to go. But I do believe, and I'm just going to spend a little bit of time on it before we go on, I do believe that it is important for us to know our gift. Now, saying that, I believe it is important that we do not abuse our gift. And with every gift, the positive in every gift, there's a negative. And we need to understand ourselves. We need to know who we are. We need to know what makes us tick, what makes things happen, and what makes us, what makes us thrive. That's the word I want. The other word came through there, it wasn't going to fit. But we need to know what makes us thrive. And we need to know why it makes us thrive. But Paul gives us some instructions as he takes us into that. And the first thing that he says is, the grace given to me, I'm going to say to you, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Paul is encouraging us to approach these gifts with humility. In all seriousness. I like the way the New Living Translation says that. I think the King James, what does the King James say there? Sober? I think the King... Sober. See, and that word really, I looked at that word and I'm like, what does that mean? Soberly, I don't know. To me, that may mean something different than it does to you. But the New Living Translation says, be honest in your evaluation of yourself. Be honest. You know, when I evaluate myself, often I kind of give myself a little room when maybe I shouldn't be giving myself a little room. And I think Paul is saying, you know, when we, this gift that God has given you, I want you to be serious with it. I want you to use it. But I want you to be careful with it. Galatians 6:3, he says, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. William Barclay says this, one of the first basic commandments of the Greek wise man was, man, know thyself. We do not get very far in this world until we know what we can and what we cannot do. An honest assessment of our own capabilities without conceit and without false modesty is one of the first essentials of a useful life. And I will say this, that we have the ability to either build up or tear down with our gifts. We have the ability to make people who they are because of those gifts. And often what happens is I look at Jonas and I'm like, I wish I could preach like Jonas did. Or I wish I could lay tile like Grant does. And I forget, that's not my gift. Grant says that may not be his either, but he does a good job at it. You know, yesterday I watched people doing jobs that some of you were very uncomfortable with. I know that. But you know what I saw? I saw, and Jesse, he had pretty red hair too by the end of the day, but anyway. But I saw something happen yesterday that was important. It's what the church is about. It's what working together is about. You know, there are three people that were given the task of overseeing this project. The rest of us were given the task to do what they ask us to do. And they may ask us to do something we're not real comfortable with, and it may be something that's totally out of our comfort zone. But what I saw yesterday is I saw people digging in and doing it. I saw people cleaning up Harley's mess while he kept grinning and throwing more mess out there. You know? And they were having fun. They were enjoying it. Harley was enjoying it too much. But, you know, that's what I want to talk about this morning. What has God given you to do? The next point that he makes in verse 3 is what you have been given is not of yourself. Every one of us has certain characteristics or gifts that there's no way that we can do or function in those characteristics or gifts without God's power. It's impossible. And the only way it will work is if I totally give it to God. Barclay says this. The second point is, it urges us to accept ourselves and to use the gift God has given us. When we are not to envy someone else's gift and regret that some other gift has not been given to us. We are to accept ourselves as we are and use the gift we have. The result may be that we have to accept the fact that service for us means some humble spear and some almost unforeseen part, like cleaning up, mowing the grass. It can be anything like that. It can be picking up a piece of trash as you're walking into church on Sunday morning. Simple things. 1 Corinthians 12, I want to turn to that. And I want to read verses 1 through 11. Paul, in 1 Corinthians, Paul is addressing somewhat of the same subject to the church at Corinthians, and he makes a couple different points here. He says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works in all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines." You have been given the gift that God has given you for a reason. You are not given someone else's gift for a reason. God has something He wants you to do. Verse 11. "All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills." Verse 7 is another verse I want to point out here. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for what? The common good. Your gift was given to you to make a difference in someone else's life. Not in yours. That gift that you've been given is not for you. It's for someone else. And when we hold on to that and we don't want to use it, we don't want to function in it because, well, I really don't feel like it's who I am, or I don't feel comfortable doing something, you may be withholding something from someone else that God has for that person through you. Barclay says this, "Paul is really saying that whatever gift a man has comes from God. He calls gift charismata in the Greek. In the New Testament, a charisma is something given to a man by God which the man himself could not have acquired or attained." That gift you've been given, you can't do it. You cannot do it. And then in verse 4 and 5, Paul now goes to another subject, and he talks about the diversity of the church. The one thing that we need to understand is Let me go here. When I was younger, I forget how old I was. It's been a long time ago. I worked for one summer with a crop duster, and if you don't know it, I love aircraft. My dream job would be to be a corporate pilot. Period. Just that would be my dream job. I'd be fine just having my own jet, but that would probably never happen. But that would be my dream job. I had an opportunity, and I think I was maybe 19, somewhere in there. I had an opportunity. My boss at the time made me an offer to totally pay for all of my flight training. Fixed wing, rotorcraft, wherever I wanted to go. And I didn't feel good about it. I just didn't feel like I was supposed to do that. And I'll tell you that over the last 40 years now. But over the last 35 to 40 years, I have looked at that decision more than once and said, I wonder where I would be today had I made a different choice. And there's been a few times I looked at that choice and I'm like, because the other part of that is he sold all of his aircraft the next year because the crop dusting with helicopters went, it was too expensive and people quit doing it. So there was very little work left. So he sold all his stuff. I'd have had fixed wing and rotorcraft for free. And I'm like, man, if I'd have just done it. But you know, I believe very firmly that God had a reason for that. That was not my path. Now I can look at some of my friends who have been able to do that, and I'm like, I can be a little envious of that. But I have to be content that I know the path that God has taken me is the right path. For me to compare myself to them is not going to work. Paul makes it clear in verse 4. Each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. If my foot all of a sudden decides it wants to be an eye because he's tired of seeing everything down there, he wants to see where I'm going, and he doesn't trust me anymore, what's going to happen? Something's not going to work. My eye's not going to do too well down there where my foot is. It's not going to work. God has designed our bodies the way he has for a reason. He's designed the church and our function together for a reason. The second part is verse 5. But we're all one. We are designed to help each other. And when we want to be what we're not supposed to be, we cause a problem. It doesn't work right. If God has made you an eye, your job is to be an eye. If he's made you a foot, your job is to be a foot. Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Why? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And the third point in verses 6 through 8 is we are to serve in that capacity with zeal, no matter what our gift is. If it is serving, let me back up here. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. One thing that I thought was interesting is as you read through those, every one of them interlaps. They all work together. One can't work without the other. And if you noticed, there was a certain group of people I didn't mention yesterday. Anybody know who it was? Cooks. There you go. I was wondering, you guys are going to get in trouble if you forget our cooks. You won't get any food at all next time. You ladies, you served. It's huge. Yeah, we'll make it without you bringing our food, but guess what it does? It makes the men feel special. It makes them feel cared for. And that job is just as important as cleaning or painting or nailing braces, whatever. It's just as important. No job is more important than the next job. Barclay says this, whatever gift a man has, he must use it, and the motive of use must be not his personal prestige, but the conviction that it is at one and the same time his duty and his privilege to make his own contribution to the common good. 1 Peter 4:10-11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Use it to serve each other. If I choose not to use my gift, God will find someone to fill that spot. But he wants me to do it. He wants you to do it. To be a good steward. Paul says, no matter what your gift is, do all you can to build others up with that gift. No matter what your position in church is, your focus should be to be the best for the time you are given that job. 2 Corinthians 10:12, Paul says, it is unwise to compare ourselves with each other. The New Living Translation uses a little harsher word. It actually says it's ignorant. I think I agree with that. They are only comparing themselves with each other, using themselves as a standard of measurement. How ignorant. In the Daily Bread, February 3, 1986, there was an article. Now, suppose this is true. I don't know, but it's a good article, a good illustration. So I'm going to use it. A bricklayer whose brother was a famous violinist, was talking with the head of the construction company where he was employed. It must be great to have a brother who is known around the world, the executive said. And then, not thinking that he might have offended his worker's pride, he continued even further. Of course, we must accept the fact that talent isn't equally distributed, even in the same family. Now, he dug his hole a little deeper, I think. That's right, came the reply. Why, my brother doesn't know the first thing about bricklaying. It's a good thing he can afford to pay somebody else to build his house for him. He had the right idea. His brother was famous. His brother was known around the world, and here he was a bricklayer. But he understood that it was a gift that God had given him, and he was willing to accept it. He was willing to use it. Each of us has a responsibility to use the gift we've been given, not for our own good, but to build each other up for the common good of the church. In turn, that will translate into making a difference into those that we interact with daily. Again, I think it's important to know yourself, to accept yourself, to understand that the gift you've been given is from God, and that the purpose of that gift is to serve others. Lord bless you as you use your gift this week to serve others. Brian, do you have a song? 99 in the folder. And you can stand. Father, this morning we are just grateful for the privilege that we have to serve each other. We're grateful that you have given us each something different to do. You've made us different, and in doing so, you've created a body how you want it created. We don't always understand how that happens and why you put things where you do, but we accept that. We trust you. And Father, this morning, I just pray that this week, as we serve each other, as we serve those we work with, you would help us to do our best. You would help us to use those gifts that you've given us to the best of our ability. Help us to serve others each day. Be with those that are traveling today. We ask that you would give them safety, protect them as they travel home. Those that are sick this morning could not be here for various reasons. We ask that you would care for them as well. Father, use us this week to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.